Today's episode is a fruity one.
You could have thought of something a little bit more unique, couldn't you? Hey, welcome back. Guess what we're talking about? Fruity Tooty or Tooty Fruity or what? No, we're going to be talking about fruit trees. Scott, you don't have any in your yard, do you?
Thank God, no.
No, why? Why did you say that? What? Now, let me ask you, why did you say that? Picking up, fruit that's falling to the ground, having bugs all over the place, having birds go in and out, and having squirrels do their thing?
Yeah, well, fruit trees are just not my thing.
Safe.
I mean, there's no true place for me to put them in my yard.
Scott's backyard is an ornamental paradise.
There's no place in my yard for a tree, a fruit tree.
Yeah, so it's a matter of,
no vacancy, lit up, in neon.
Yeah, blinking. And then you can hear it blinking and short-circuiting out there. Yeah, we don't want any fruit trees. It's kind of like, no peach trees apply.
Apply.
Well, it's kind of like
interviews for what kind of fruits I want.
Well, back in the 1840s, Irish need not apply. Well, let's do it this way. You're kind of
you're here. Don't I have enough fruit in the house?
You're a creep. Anyway, the scenario here is remember when the lady that had a grub problem in her lawn and she was wondering what in the heck it was, and then she called your wife actually, and she picked up the phone and says, "Well, according to what the man said on this notation, is that you've got a grub problem." And what did she say? She said, we can't have any grub problem. We live in a gated community. Well, now that shows the ignorance of that particular person. I would be laughing my butt off listening to that and saying, you know what? I don't give a crap if you're listening from a gated community or if you're in the wide open spaces, you still have a grub problem. That's an insect.
What does that have to do with
fruit
trees?
I'm going to the fruit trees from that.
Please finish it.
You said that you have no room for a fruit tree.
There's no room at the end.
Well, they would not come in. You have an arrogant, condescending attitude toward fruit trees. So in this case, I'm going to say, people, since COVID, fruit trees are definitely something that I think you should look into if you've got the property. If you don't have the property, don't worry about it.
How much property do you need?
I mean, my backyard is probably 800 square feet altogether. And all I would need is probably two trees. Make sure that the trees themselves are something that's going to be not necessarily self-pollinating, because that's a hybrid. You're going to have to go with something that needs cross-pollination like cherry trees do. Certain cherry trees, you got to have one variety of a different source. Some of them you don't need, some of them you do. Apple trees, you don't necessarily have to. And the reason is because there might be another apple tree within the vicinity of a bee flying back and forth, or a fly flying around, or a butterfly.
Yeah, and I think that's part of the problem, that people that aren't totally into doing this avoid fruit trees, because you're like, all right, are they self? How do I get somebody else to pollinate my tree if I only have one? Do I need a male, female? It gets a little bit too technical, and I think weekend warrior people are just like, don't need that.
Well, now guess what they came up with? They came up with dwarf fruit trees, DWARF, short, not necessarily tall. Pear tree could get up to 60 feet if it was an heirloom, but now it's a hybrid, and they're only going to get up about 15, 20 feet in height. Apple tree, the same thing. Cherry tree, the same thing. Uh-oh, I didn't push the button.
Jesus.
Scott gave me a button to push whenever I had to clear my throat or cough. Well, regardless, here's the thing.
And it's got zero pushes so far.
No, he had one last time.
Oh, that's right. We did.
Yeah. Well, anyway, no, the fruit tree business is booming. I would recommend, if you're interested in it, go for a dwarf variety. Go for an apple tree. Go for a cherry tree. Go for a peach tree. The only problem we have here is what? Peach trees have a borer. In the state of Ohio, you go and check with your cooperative extension. State of Ohio is not allowing nurseries to sell peach trees if they have what they call the peach tree borer in it. Now, that means, have you noticed that most peach trees, they sap a lot? The reason that they sap a lot is either from the winter crack or from the damage that's been caused by a borer. what that will do, it won't kill the tree immediately, but it eventually will start dying off a slow, miserable death within 3 to 5 years. Normally, these trees, especially the dwarfs, are going to last about 15 to 20 years, and that's it. They're not going to last any longer. They're going to start depleting what looks like a full tree the first 5 to 7 years. They're going to start having dead branches that you're going to have to prune out and leave them alone. But these things do happen. These things are something that I would think is probably going to be good for the family all the way around. If you are a family, even if you're not, if you have the desire to always want a cherry tree, check with your garden center to find out if you're going to need a pollinator. Sometimes you don't. Just, you know, Kwanzaa cherry is not going to produce fruit for you. It's more of an ornamental. So the weeping cherry is more of an ornamental. You're not going to need a cross pollinator. But you're not necessarily going to need a pollinator either for, let's say, the hybrid dwarf. Scott, you don't like to put fruit tree. You've got a banana tree in your backyard right now.
Yeah. I mean, well, it's a different subject.
Different. Yeah, okay, fine. Call it a different subject.
I call it a different subject.
But did you know that the apple tree is related to the rose bush?
Well, did you know the banana tree is related to the herb?
What herb?
Not that kind of herb, Mike.
Oh, damn. All right, well, I've eaten a lot more bananas.
So, and then apricot is very popular.
That one is the replacement that people are going for versus the peach tree. And the reason there is, I mean, there's nothing better in the middle of August to go and pull a Red Haven peach right off of the tree itself and eat that thing and watch it just drip down your face, on your chest, on your legs, et cetera. It's just delicious as all get out. But they've got the borer problem. Apricots right now, there's benefits there with vitamin A, vitamin D. They're smaller fruit. They grow like a peach, but they're not as large, and they aren't as susceptible to the borer as what the peach tree is. Are you going to recommend one, Scott? Or you don't give a rat's derriere?
I do not know much about fruit trees at all. I'm just kind of...
You did. Zoning out listening to you.
Well,
I asked you to do a little bit of research in the back of your lot over there at the garden center.
Yeah.
What trees? Do you have fruit trees over there?
Yeah, we do.
What kind you got?
We have some Morenci's. We have, technically a Morenci, is that more of a bush than a tree?
No, it's a tree.
All right. It looks like a bush. So we have the Morenci. We have...
Morenci what?
Cherry.
Okay.
We have... the apricots. We have some Gala apples. We have some Jonathans, I believe.
Jonathans are the old-fashioned ones, and so are the Macintosh, too, don't you?
Yeah, there's a couple of Macintosh out there still.
How about Fuji?
I don't have any Fujis currently.
How about Honeycrisp?
At my store.
At the store. How about Honeycrisp?
Honeycrisp, I do have some Honeycrisp.
Those are absolutely delicious. And that's kind of replacing the peach in my book, because when you bite into those apples, they're round. But they're juicier than the Dickens when they're ripe. And then when you bite into it, it has that sweet apple taste with a little bit of a hint of honey to it. Absolutely delicious. I mean, that's something. And did you know that the apple tree is, again, related to the rose bush? You did know that.
Yeah, you keep saying that.
I did. What about, okay, let's go a little bit different here. Let's go to blueberries. Oh, let's go to strawberries. But let's go to blueberries first of all.
Okay, let's go there.
We're going with fruit all the way around. Mid-season... you're going to want to be able to have to pick something off of the vine, whether it's grapes, whether it's blueberry, whether it's, raspberry, strawberry. Did you know that?
Blackberry.
Blackberry.
What you pull off.
Those are a bramble. And
brambles.
They are brambles. And what you're going to have to do in order, you'll notice that they're going to start developing more and more branching, more and more leafing, but producing far less fruit. What do you have to do? You got to crop the hell out of them. And I mean, do it. Don't be delicate with it and do a little bit here, a little bit there. Just take your hedge trimmer and lop the hell out of them. Now, that's going to prevent any type of fruit from occurring. And maybe you'll have one or two little berries here and there, whether it's blueberry, whether it's raspberry. Don't do it to your strawberries. Raspberries and blackberries. What's going to happen there is they establish new stemwork or new vine. What usually happens after that bramble creates brand new vine? What do you get?
All right, I'm a timeout. You're 10 steps ahead of my brain. A bramble is what? Congratulations, you used the cough button.
I used the cough button.
Congratulations.
A bramble basically is Did you ever go walking into, let's say, a Metro Park, and your arm got caught by a little bit of a thorn here and there, and you noticed that it was a viney thing that did it? A bramble is a cluster of wild growth, usually with thorns on it, that's going to bite you if you walk anywhere near it. They lurch out.
So let's just say on my blackberry bush, my theoretical blackberry bush.
Yeah, you've got one back
this,
there.
Has this fruited already? Have I pulled stuff off and then it brambles?
No, what they do, if you let them take their own course, they turn into a bramble is an uncontrolled mess of viney branches with usually thorns on it, very little fruit.
Okay.
Somebody discovered that they would take that bramble with that very little fruit and not necessarily hybrid it, but let it take its own course by cropping the heck out of it, meaning give it a haircut. You get new growth. They think that their rose bushes, they're going to produce flower, a lot more flower, and then you're going to have a lot more fruit from it.
Okay.
So
if your blackberry bush isn't doing good, isn't fruiting well.
But it's got a lot of stems.
A lot of stems.
A lot of leaf.
Okay.
Cut the hell out of it.
So,
I mean, crop it.
And while you're doing that, put your earbuds on and play Led Zeppelin's Bramble On.
Well, that'd be cool.
Did you see what I did there?
I think that was cute, Scott.
Yeah, thank you.
Everybody, give him an applause. He did a cute. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Anyway,
thank
but
you.
No, that's raspberries, blue,
no, why do strawberries. I don't know.
I keep jumping into strawberries. Strawberries like straw and wet. But
blueberries,
see,
blackberries, raspberries.
Yeah, now they have hybrid varieties. They've got patio blueberries that you can put in a container and then just, you know, give them the water and the nutrients they need, and they're going to produce a sweet fruit for you. If you do the regular blueberries, you need two different varieties for cross-pollination again. And that gets into like a little bit of a hassle for some people, but for the most part, people with children. No, that's not a hassle. You plant one variety on one side of the yard, another variety on the other, they'll cross-pollinate, and you're going to be guaranteed that you're going to get fruit. But again, you're going to have to start cropping them. You don't let them take their course and let them turn into that wild plant.
The forsythia?
Well, exactly. Oh. That's exactly what I'm suggesting. Even lilac. Have you noticed that a lot of lilacs don't bloom, but most of them that are blooming have been trimmed and manicured? Because people generally just go ahead and give it a haircut. Anything that's going to produce any kind of a fruit has to be trimmed in order to start new growth, in order to start a new flower, in order to start in having a fruit bear.
That's worth the price of admission right there, that sentence.
Okay, thank you very much. So you're saying that I have a little bit of an intelligent factor coming this direction. Apple trees.
You said little, I didn't.
Oh, what a creep. Anyway, the go back to the fruit trees. You're going to have to trim those too. It's just that it's a lot easier and you do it less frequently when you have the dwarf varieties. You don't have to worry about cross-pollination. You don't necessarily have to. When it does come to a pollination thing, I would, if you're going with the average, let's say, apple tree, an heirloom, you're going to have to ask people that do know what in the hell they're talking about and ask them if you're going to need another one to have cross-pollination. Don't rely on somebody who goes, well, let's go look it up. Make sure these people know what in the God's given earth they're talking about. I think in this case, the most beneficial trees that you could probably put in your limited space is going to be a dwarf fruit tree. Now, dwarf doesn't mean it's only going to get 8 feet tall. And it's going to produce a prolific amount of fruit for you. It's going to get about 15 feet tall. You can control that. Have you ever driven by these orchards and you've seen these ugly, really thick trunked trees, but with real spindly little branches on them at those orchards? They do that intentionally so that new growth can produce an abundance of flower, which is going to ensure an abundance of fruit for you. If you don't trim them, you're going to notice each year it's going to come less and less and less.
Right, right. It's okay this time of year, early June, to go out, get yourself one, and plant these.
Yes. Now, a lot of people have, they expect immediate gratification.
And
you're not going to
be disappointed.
You're going to be lucky. If you're going to buy a tree that's got about 3 years on it and put it in the ground, you may notice about one or two fruit, but it does take approximately 3 years established root base in your backyard soil in order to ensure that you're going to get some fruit bearing.
And I will say this, and you tell me if I'm wrong.
Since I admit it, I'm not a big fruity tree guy.
The trees we have in stock through the year, you know, I've noticed the ones that are hanging around, they will fruit. They're not very pretty apples or whatever, but the tree is doing its thing.
Have you noticed the diameter of the trunk?
Well, it's small. I mean,
it's not as small as what you probably get at, you know, these box stores. That's just a little whip. Well, you've got about 2.5 to 3 years growth in that.
When you're going to the garden center, don't judge the tree necessarily. Pick the best one that you see, okay? But don't, like, these look terrible. I'm out of here. These have been in plastic containers. They've gone through a few cycles. They may, by the time you get it, they may have an apple hanging off of it that looks a little deformed or just not 100% right. Dude, it's been in a plastic pot.
You're going to give it a home.
You need to give it a home, a fruit forever home.
Well, no,
that
it's going to
work.
You
need to give it a home and get those roots out and
it
let them
perform for you. It's not like the Charlie Brown tree where they cut it off at the ground level and leave it alone. It's going to die. No. This is going to, once they start to acclimate to their own soil condition, you're going to appreciate what you brought home with you. I really recommend that you take, if you've got kids, take them with you and help you pick you out a beautiful little tree and put it in your own backyard and bond with it. Trust me, it will acclimate and it will perform only in the way that you basically give it nutrients and nurture it. The other thing is some of the old timers would put down insecticides. I don't recommend any insecticides at all,
right?
Unless they're natural. There's a natural one, kind of natural. It's called Volk oil spray, but you're supposed to put that in early in the spring, mid-spring, and late spring, or when the buds start to form, when the buds start to crack open, and after the blossoms fall, you do that. Usually that prevents any of the early spring insects from laying their eggs inside of that developing fruit, and then you're going to have probably a healthy little routine when it comes down to the trees. But again, I am going to strongly recommend, if you have a family of kids, have them help pick it out. If not, pick something out that you can bond with. It sounds really weird and creepy. It sounds almost like mid-60s, you know, hippie type talk. But it is something that you're going to want to nurture, and it will help you also while you watch it. So, like Scott said, if you got an ugly-looking tree, bear with it. Take it home, put it in the ground, give it a good drink. Sometimes it'll last, and it'll look ugly forever. Other ones, generally, most of the time, will start to produce for you.
Yeah, just give it some time.
Yeah.
And then some TLC, because they will respond.
And they do. They do well. Anything else you want to give it, Scott? I think right now is a good time to go ahead and buy one if you find anything. And then usually, you know, get it in the ground as soon as possible. And remember, we got a drought going on, so give those things a drink, too. They're going to need it.
So this episode is just a quick one to remind people that right now is a great time to go find fruit trees. I mean, we've talked about grasses. We've talked about herbs and vegetables on this show. We've never really talked about fruit trees. And we're going to have to get into that.
A little bit stronger.
You know, yeah, very much stronger, because I've got some homework to do. I knew you were mentioning spring stuff in the spring. People come in for...
Yeah, you're making it sound a little... We do have to bring to your attention that the maintenance on a fruit tree is a lot different than, let's say, your grapes or your blueberries or your brambles. But then at the same time, it's going to be something that, you know, you're going to appreciate for many, many years, and it's going to produce for you, provided that you give it a good practice run. In other words, you know, right now, find the tree, put it in the ground, give it a drink, and let it take its course. Within 3 years, after Scott and I talk and help you walk through this.
And it's like what Johnny said with the ornamental trees. So what was that three phrase thing? First year it sleeps, second year it creeps, third year it leaps, I think.
That was it.
Johnny will be proud of me.
All right. Well, what do you say, Scott? We kind of take a break right now, let people kind of absorb all this.
Go do some homework on some fruit trees and run out to your nurseries and see what they have and see what will work in your area.
Just remember that right now there's a little bit, there's a borer problem for the peach trees, and they've got a, you know, a, not necessarily a ban, but they're confining the sale of peach trees right now for the most part. If you can find one that's, you know, that's borer free, go for it and drop it in the ground.
All right, let's wrap this up and let's see how good our audience is. All right, what do we say, everybody? Or at least what I say.
Yeah, what Scott says.
Green thumbs. Yeah, I heard an up.
Did you hear up?
I heard somebody say up.
I heard too. All right. All right.
All right, everybody. Green thumbs up. We'll hit you soon.
Talk to you.
Thanks for listening to Your Midwest Garden. If you like today's conversation, please share this podcast with friends and family. And don't forget to click on the subscribe button so you won't miss any future episodes. Plus, if you have any show topics you'd like us to discuss, head on over to our sponsor's Facebook page, which is Black Diamond Garden Center, and message them your topic idea. For all of us at Your Midwest Garden Podcast, I'm Michael Rourke, the Garden Guy. Hope you enjoyed today's conversation.
What do you mean vacancy sign?
I don't have any more room to put a fruit tree.
Oh, you should have no vacancy on it. Vacancy means it's empty. No vacancy means it's full. All right, Scott.
See, that's a really bad way of doing it.
Well, regardless, you still got your point across.
Let's do that again so I don't look stupid.
No. Okay, go ahead.